Rosh and Islamic. There's a lot of different thoughts here, so let's take one or two and then we'll leave for next year. Mr. Hashem will pick up Monday. Mr. Hashem will pick up. So the first point is Daz Elokei Avicha, and the rest of it talks about Dibur. So we can understand that a person has awareness that the Pasuk talks about that he's in Shemayim Al, in Europe, down below. Which is the flow of the thought. The first step is the lashon of daz elokei avicha. So, lashon of idea, a person should know. So first is elokei avicha, which means we come to based on a mesura that we're not starting from scratch. Is there a God? Is there not a God? That's how we're starting. We're starting from elokei avicha. We know the Kadosh Baruch Hu exists. It's beautiful if you take the Sefer Chavos Levavos, so first Shara Yichud, which talks about the different proofs about the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The second Shara Bechinah. So in his language, to be mafkin, to understand a little bit about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're past the step. We know he exists. We're not being misbudded in the Bria to prove his existence. Or being misbudded in the Bria to understand the care that he has, understand the wisdom that he has, understand the power that he has, understand the ploy of Bria, bring home a different level of respect to a creator. And that's the angle that he comes from. The Bala Kabbalah use the pasuk Daz as Elokei Avicha. That's mamash for them. That's the whole yesod of Kabbalah is this concept that a person should have an understanding of how Kadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the Bria, all of the different pratim, understanding the different pratim of the Kabbalah, of the Bershon's and Haggas, etc. That's all akim of Daz Elokei Avicha, and a yediya. And maybe there's another element of which is hinted in it. It's over Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Brisker says we know there's a mitzvah. The first mitzvah, the Rambam's lashon is leida lahamin. So leida means to know. Lahamin means to believe. Right. So even though there's a saying in the belt which is called, it says seeing is believing, that's 100% not correct. Something which I see, I don't have to believe. I know. I saw it. Belief is something which starts when I don't see it. I don't have a way to measure it. Don't have a way to know it, but I believe it anyway. So the concept of emunah only kicks in beyond where the seichel is going to take me to understand, to have a knowledge, direct knowledge. So seeing is not believing. When I see it, I'll believe it. When you see it, you'll know it. It means you didn't believe it. So by Kadosh Baruch Hu, Reb Chaim says that there's two steps. The first step is a person is misbudded in the Bria. He comes to a certain level of understanding about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The marshal, let's say, it's a crude marshal, you know, to such a concept. If I show you a shtender, and a very nice, well built shtender, and I ask you, what can you tell me about the person, the one who made the shtender? So you tell me that the person understood different types of wood, that you know certain woods are better for this part, certain woods are better for that part. He understood maybe understanding of tension. He had certain elements of aesthetics, of function. He understood. He knew a lot of things. Right? There are many different things which you do, the intricacies of the woodworking, etc. I can't tell you how big his nose is, but I wouldn't get the shtender. I can't tell you how tall he was. I can't tell you about it. You look at the Bria, you can understand a certain amount, you get an idea about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You could the Bria, you can see what a Kadosh Baruch Hu did. We have a certain level of understanding of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is. Whatever, right? The size of the universe. You know, you talk about the numbers, the size of the universe, and the numbers are so, excuse me, the pun, astronomical, that it's hard we can't even comprehend such idea. So, we know Kadosh Baruch Hu is bigger than that. We don't know what that words mean. We know it's that big. We know, okay, whatever that means. If he's bigger than that, that's a moon. So the Rosh is talking about the first step is the da. that there's a certain amount that a person can accomplish with what you see in front of you. Rabbi Chanan was remarks that there's a mitzvah munah. The mitzvah munah is the first entire mitzvah. At what age does the mitzvah munah kick in? 13 years old by mitzvah, 12 years old by a girl. So this 12-year-old girl has to have a munah in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? The greatest philosophers couldn't figure out if a Kadosh Baruch Hu exists. We go to some of you talk to my dear girl, right? You know Kadosh Baruch Hu exists. You know Kadosh Baruch Hu exists to such a clarity that you call the kapan to give up your life. You'll give up your life for that. So how is it possible? How is it possible we can expect to do such a thing? A 13-year-old boy, you look at your bar mitzvah bachur, you know, like. So Rechana says it has to be that the clarity of understanding of the Munah and Kadosh Baruch Hu is so obvious and so clear, it's intelligible to a 13-year-old. You're going to ask me that if Aristotle couldn't figure it out, there's something called Shreichad. If true Munah and Kadosh Baruch Hu means the world isn't free, and there's expectations, and there's responsibilities. The Shaykhah says that I don't want to do that. So the mind is affected by it. Chazal said that Klaisa was over Avodah Zorah, Lahat Lamarais before Hesed. The bottom line, they had no interest in Avodah Zorah. They couldn't care less about Avodah Zorah. But Avodah Zorah meant that they can do a rise before Hesed. I don't know when Chazal said rise before Hesed, what they pictured the year 2014, right? But that's walking through the world understanding that there's a Bari Olam is Makayev. That comes, those are things which are a clarity which a person can get by thinking. Rav Olber writes and says that Batsam, we are Makuyev to understand. He says he writes 2 points. First of all, he says, what does it mean, a clarity in Amunah? Push to understand the words. A clarity in Amunah means that somebody comes to question you. You're not budged by it because you're clear. What about two people challenge you on it? You're also clear. What about you sit in the room, everybody says that you're an idiot? You're also clear. What about if you're there for 20 years? You're also clear. That's at the level of what it means, Amunah. That you're so clear about it that when you sit in a room of 1,000 people and they all tell you that you're the most backward and a fool that ever existed in the world, you laugh at them and say, you got a problem. It's not my problem. It's yours. And you sit there in communist Russia for 20 years telling you that. Also the same thing. That's da. I can sit in this room. I look outside and it's daytime. I say, no, it's nighttime. 50 people tell me it's nighttime. 100 people tell me it's nighttime. It's not nighttime. It's daytime. Maybe we'll argue semantics or whatever, but it's da, it's yidiyah, it's a clarity. It's a clarity, which doesn't, but he says, how do you do that? You do it by thinking, not the fancy rayas and the this is and the that. The human logic is inclined towards this. There's a fascinating book which came out, was put out as a little pamphlet. You picked it up, I think, years and years ago. And then they reprinted it a while later. CIS put it out. They called it Obvious Proof. But originally it was printed as a little pamphlet called The 2001 Principle. Now, for those of you who do not know what The 2001 Principle is about, there was a movie which came out in the 1970s or 1980s called 2001, A Space Odyssey. Okay, 2001 has came, 2001 has gone. It's like 1984 came and 1984 went. You know, you wonder what they were thinking. I never saw the movie, so I can't tell you the details of the movie. But all my friends saw it. You know, it was like a big thing to go see the movie. But they present the following: the authors of this pamphlet present the following question. If we accept Rabbi Chanan's premise, that the natural instinct of the logic of a human being is inclined to believe that there's a creator. You look at the world and you see a creator. It's not logical otherwise. And the only problem is that there is this shaykhad, they call it cognitive dissonance, that we don't want to accept it, right? So a person buys a new car, Nishtof Mirgazok, right? And he pays a great price. Right? The next day he opens up the paper and he sees the exact same car being sold for $5,000 less. So what does he say? Mistama's not the same car. It says the same car. No, Mistama's not the same car. Anyway, that car probably had problems with it. His mind doesn't want to accept the fact that he was made a fool out of. So the answer is, it's not true. It's called cognitive dissonance. Like, you would have come to him the day, if he had not bought the car yet, he would say, wow, it's a great deal, let's buy the car. He would have said, it's great. But now he says, it's horrible, because it can't be. It can't be good. Makes him feel like a fool. So the mind plays all these games, all because it doesn't want to believe it. So we can make an experiment. When we can take away the cognitive dissonance, will the human beings accept this as a logical premise? That you look at something which seems complex and say probably there was a creator, as opposed to that it came out of some soup out of it, protein soup, which came from somewhere, right? So well, they did it. They put people into a theater, millions of people to the theater, and they show them a scene where a person's on some planet, and he comes across something which is a monolith, which is four sides, right? And he says, "Wow, there must be intelligent beings on this planet." No, maybe it happened by itself. The natural inclination of those people was to say, that's logical. Yeah, if you see something which has four sides, it looks like it's shaped, it probably didn't happen by itself. It might have. But it probably didn't happen probably by that somebody made it. He says, we checked every single critique of the movie and nobody ever challenged that premise. That's a logical statement. Because sitting in a movie theater, it does not makayv you anything that there's on a certain planet that there's intelligent life. It's not makayv you anything. But looking out the world and looking at a tree, that's makayv you something. Uh-huh. That was the theory of the whole, that was their theory. It's called the 2001 Principle. That's the name of the pamphlet. So they redid it eventually because most people didn't hear the book anymore, the movie anymore. So they changed the name of it so you could say they can sell it. The obvious proof. Da'as el-kei means there's a clarity. Now, with all of the, Rabbi says, you don't need any fancy things. Without all the fantastic proofs, logic dictates that you see a functioning world. You see the intricacy of it. You see that the complexity of it. You see the fact that it came from somewhere. It's not illogical. It's logical. Any person tells you that all these things have been proven without a shadow of a doubt, they don't want to know otherwise, because that's uncomfortable. Da'as el-kei is the first step. It's the first mitzvah. It's the foundation of all the mitzvahs. But the Rosh adds a kenech, Da'as el-kei avicha, which means you start knowing, the way Rabbi writes it, you start with the idea, we know, we have a Masara, we have no questions about it. And then we take that and we support it and give it a chizuk from understanding it through our logic. The combination of the two together is something which is very powerful. If a person comes in his own logic alone, that's all it is, a person could start wondering, maybe somebody else understands better than me. I'm not so smart. Well, we have a Masara of some very, very smart people. Some of the most brilliant minds which walk the face of this earth all have the Masara of El-Kei Avicha. We have an Avraham Avinu was able to have that clarity to stand on one side of the world and the hope was on the other side of the world. That's the clarity that he had. Right? Jews have a Masara of being stubborn people. It's a good thing. Somebody tells them I'm wrong, that's their problem. Right? That's where you're supposed to have your akshonas. So that's the first step, is the Elokei Avicha. And the second step, it talks about the kudas of, which we'll talk about next.